Afternoon, Glenn. Can you hear us?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry about the delay in joining the meeting. I was just awaiting the link from Monica.
Yeah. We've got you. It's fine. Thank you. Right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Planning Committee of the 29th of November 2022. I'll go through some general housekeeping to start us off. If we can remember, please, to switch off all our mobile phones so we don't have any interruptions, please. We're not expecting a fire drill, so if the alarms do go off, please exit back out of the door you came through, back out into the main square, and our assembly point is over on the far side. If I can ask you to politely not call out, if we have one voice at a time, that would be lovely, thank you. So if I just introduce the top table, I'm Councillor Vicky Gould, I am Chair of the Planning Committee. And if I introduce Monica Henchcliffe just here on my left-hand side, our Democratic Services Officer. On my right-hand side, I have Planning Manager Naomi Perry. On her right, I have Principal Planning Officer Barbara Toy. And on screen, as you can see behind me, we have our legal representative, Glenn McCusker, making sure I pronounce it correctly. If I turn to my vice then.
Good afternoon, I'm Councillor Ed Barker.
Councillor Colin Whittaker.
Good afternoon, Councillor Alison Legg. Hello, Councillor Sheila McKiernan.
Good afternoon, Councillor Louise Walker.
Thank you all. And apologies for absence, please, Monica.
We have apologies from Councillor Brady, Councillor Faulkner, Councillor Hall, and Councillor Lamb.
And
Councillor Ashcroft.
Yeah. Our declarations of interest for record, Councillor Ashcroft has declared an interest and so has not taken part on our site visit this morning and will not be taking part in this discussion now. So we turn to our minutes of the last meeting held on the 25th of October. And you've all had a chance to see those. Can I take those as a true record? If I propose, can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Whittaker, thank you. Any comments from the minutes? So I'll have a show of hands for all those in favour of taking those, please. Okay, any against? And abstentions.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I will sign those off as a true record. Any urgent business to be brought to the committee, please? No?
Sorry, Chairman.
No, there isn't.
Okay, thank you. So we move on to our planning application. I'd like to hand over to Barbara, who will present this for us then, please.
Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me? Yeah. Presentation on the screen. So this is planning application number P/2021/01658 for the Children's Respite Village, Wichner Lane, Wichner. Can you? Thank you. So the proposal is erection of Children's Respite Village, including 10 lodges, staff accommodation, central building, roadway, associated infrastructure, landscaping and creation of new access road to link Dogshead Lane and Wichner Lane. So if we start off on this this plan initially, just to say first of all, the site is set outside of the settlement boundaries. The main... that's gone off the pointer. Can you see that? Can't read it. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, just get a pointer. Thank you. Okay, so the main site is to the northwest here, and the site of the access road runs here on the eastern side of the site. This is the junction of the Wichner Junction on the A38, and then this is Wichner Lane. Travels through until which is an adopted highway at that point, then it then becomes an unadopted highway at the point that's marked black there and continues on up to the site as an unadopted highway. The main site, situated up to the northwest, an area of woodlands to the northeast, further areas of woodlands to the southeast and the southwest. So, as I described, an unadopted road that comes all the way down here, that starts here at the causeway, which is a traffic light controlled section of the road due to its width. This is the Wychner Country Club, hotel, leisure facilities and timeshare facility. There are some listed buildings within that development. Immediately to the north of the Country Club is the Grange, which is a residential development, conversions and new build residential properties. So the other end of the site in more detail. So this is the Cathome Junction off the A38 and Dog's Head Lane running this way. This is the proposed access road across the field from the Bunthorn Farm, if I got that right, running across the field to Wychner Lane. So just up from the Wychner Junction. The purple on here is the canal conservation area. Where are we up to? Right, so a bit of context for the site, so, just in a bit more detail, the A38 junction, Wychner here, the Cathome Junction up here. The red line on this plan denotes the construction vehicle access that would be used for developing the site, which runs through up to Bar Lane through a farm. This isn't an option that was viable for direct access for guests, etc., to the facility as it runs through the farmyard, but agreement has been made to use that for construction traffic. We're on number 7. Right, okay. This is the landscape plan for the development, but it shows clearly the site layout and the landscape proposals. The proposals will provide a respite village specifically for children with life-limiting or life-threatening illnesses and their families. The village will be run by a charity with support from a number of other charities. It will be the first dedicated facility of its kind in the country, fully funded by the charity and open throughout the year. The facility would provide 10 lodges, which you can see in a line running north to south, and then the Hive communal building that will provide activities and facilities for the development, situated at the southern end of the row. The staff accommodation and facilities building will be situated here, within the part of the new planting within the site. The land falls away from away to the west towards the river. The layout has been designed to take advantage of the views to the west and around the constraints of the site, which are power lines that run across the site, which is that red line that goes here from north to south, a gas pipeline which runs through the site here, public footpath, which is the purple line on this plan, flood zone 3, which is immediately adjacent to the Swarbourne River to the far west of the site, and the general topography of the site. The site does change in levels, so the higher part of the site is where the proposed lodges would be situated. The lodges and hive in the north-south line, as explained, in front of the hive building would be a pond with a decking area on the front of the hive building going out over the pond. The orange line that comes round here would be a boardwalk, and the other yellow lines on here are all the pathways that would link around the site. So the staff accommodation is up here within the trees. There would be landscaping around the site as well as to enhance the existing woodlands areas, which are just outside of the site. So the Fagness woodland is this area here, and then there's a further woodland area here. The planting that has the darker background to it is the new planting that is proposed. So this would enhance the natural environment of the site as well as adding to the existing screening of the development. The new access road, as I said, would run from Dog's Head Lane using an existing access into the farm, and a gated access swings round and then runs across the site to across the field to Wichner Lane. There is an ancient monument within this field, so there are archaeological remains of pit alignments. So the construction of the road, the details of that would need to be agreed by Historic England. Historic England have agreed the principle of the road, and that the construction details would form part of the scheduled monument consent which will be required for the road. The road will be used by guests, visitors and staff, and services and deliveries. It'll be controlled by barriers, a barrier system, and an operational management plan will be secured through Section 106 agreement. The heads of terms of that are included within the report that's been written. This will ensure that guests, staff, etc. will use the route via the Cathome Junction off the A38 rather than the Wichner Junction. Prior to submission of the application, there was pre-application discussion with Historic England and with National Highways to agree this route and across the field. A bit more detail, the proposed lodges have possibly a slightly larger footprint than you might find in an ordinary holiday lodge, but this is to ensure that there is appropriate accessibility and that extended family could possibly stay with the family that are staying there. The lodge is single storey only and would have a composite cladding rather than a natural timber. This would provide a natural appearance whilst reducing the maintenance. The Hive building, part two-storey, part single-storey, with decking extending out over the new pond. A honeycomb design with a flat roof to reduce the massing of the building, and will provide activities and facilities to entertain the families, including a cafe area. Moving on to some photographs of the site. Top left, this is the unadopted road that runs up past the site where the new access would come out from. This is the Fagness woodland area to the northeast of the site. Top right is the woodland area in the southeastern corner of the site. Both of these would be enhanced and extended as part of the proposals. A general view from the roadway over the site, difficult to see, but the overhead power lines run across the site here. So some views down. This is Wichner Lane at the start of the causeway, the traffic light controlled section of Wichner Lane, the listed canal bridge at the junction, the Wichner Junction off the A38, and showing the slip road off the A38 at the Wichner Junction. This is the open field where the new access road would run through, and this is the Cat Home Junction, a much wider two carriageway junction off the A38 with its slip roads in either direction. So moving on to the committee report and running through that. Okay. Consultations. National Highways raised no objections. Staffordshire County Council Highways, no objections, subject to a condition regarding a travel plan and the monitoring, which will be done through Section 106. The Flood Authority have raised no objections. Rights of Way, no objections, subject to condition and informatives. Archaeologists, no objections, subject to conditions. Environment Agency, no objections. Severn Trent Water, no objections. County Ecologists, no objections, subject to conditions regarding mitigation measures and management plan, both construction and beyond. Newt Officer, no objections, subject to an informative. National Forest, no objections, subject to conditions, re-species of planting, management and tree protection. Historic England, no objections. Scheduled monument consent required for the new access road to include details of construction that they will need to agree. Environmental Health, no objections, subject to an informative from the food team regarding the cafe area in the Hive. Publicity and representations. Wichner Parish Meeting have raised objections relating to sustainable development, conformity with planning policy, traffic stroke access, environmental concerns, care facility, accommodation, heritage, construction traffic, lighting and deliverability. Comments are in full in the report and the appendices submitted by the parish meeting are attached to the report in full. Neighbour responses. 39 letters of support and 32 letters of objection received. The support includes the importance and the need for the facility. The objections relate to general comments, impacts on amenity, highway impacts, ecology, planning policy, flood risk and heritage assets. Ward members, Councillor Jackie Jones asked to be kept updated on the application. So, policies, the NPPF, so the National Planning Policy Framework, eStaff's local plan, eStaff's design guide and parking standards SPD. Excuse me. So moving on to the principle of the development. It's recognised that the proposals are a departure from policy SP1 of the local plan in terms of sustainable development, but the scale and uniqueness of the facility and the nationally important social role the development will provide is considered to outweigh any harm. In terms of policy SP8, the development would create a new business appropriate in the countryside in terms of the type, operation, size and impact and justification for a rural location. Design and impact on the character of the area. The development has been specifically designed to take into consideration the landscape character of the area and the constraints of the site. The simple layout and design and the design, height, massing and materials of the buildings is considered appropriate for the location. The existing woodlands and new tree planting will provide screening of the buildings whilst enhancing the landscape character of the site, and the proposed pond will enhance the biodiversity of the site. Residential amenity. The existing and proposed trees around the site will provide screening between the closest residential properties in the Grange and the buildings within the development. It is considered that the proposals would have no adverse impact on the amenities of the surrounding occupiers. Highway impacts. The operational management plan will ensure that the new access road is used by guests, visitors, staff and services. The transport statement calculates that the additional vehicle movements on the A38 is unlikely to be imperceptible and normal to daily fluctuations in traffic flow, and that Wychner Lane is not currently nor approaching the technical capacity of a single carriageway rural lane, such that it would be fundamentally affected by the limited additional traffic anticipated. Historic environment. Historic England and the Council's Conservation Officer are satisfied that whilst there would be a degree of harm resulting from the proposed private access road to designated and non-designated heritage assets, the level of harm is assessed at less than substantial and that the public benefits of the development would outweigh the impact. Historic England are required to agree the construction details of the new access road. Flood risk and drainage. It is considered that subject to details of drainage and the development would have no adverse impact on surface water and would be unaffected by flood risk and is unlikely to cause flood risk to the surrounding land. Biodiversity. The proposals include 2.5 hectares of new tree planting together with proposed pond and hedgerows which contribute to the National Forest planting in compliance with policy and would enhance the natural environment. The county ecologist has raised no objections to the proposals subject to mitigation measures and ecological management and maintenance plans for the site. External lighting will be kept to a minimum to avoid any adverse impact on the surrounding natural environment, protected species and local neighbours. So in conclusion, taking into consideration economic, social and environmental impacts of the proposals, together with impacts on highway safety and heritage assets, it is considered that the development would be in accordance with the relevant policies within the local plan, the East Staffordshire Design Guide and the MPPF. The local authority has worked proactively with the applicant to secure the development that improves the economic, social and environmental conditions of the area in accordance with the requirements of the National Planning Policy Framework. So the recommendation is to approve subject to conditions and a Section 106 agreement to ensure a travel plan monitoring fee and an operational management plan to secure the use of the new private access road. There is an update paper that lists two additional representations received and a further update from the county ecologist, just to clarify one point. We have also had, since the update paper was circulated, we've had additional comments from the residents of Wychner with suggested conditions for any approval on the application. Those were circulated to members earlier, and I don't know whether you want to have a discussion about that now or at a later point.
As we've had those, do you want to raise now any points that you've got in light of those, and then that can form some of our discussions later?
Okay, so the first condition that was raised, at least two more speed ramps to the same design as the causeway, one just before the entrance to the Grange from the Yoxall direction and one just before the entrance to Wychner Hall goods yard from the A38 direction. On all these points, I have consulted with the County Highways Officer this morning, and he has advised that they would make no comment on these issues as they would be on private land. It's not a dotted highway. So it would be between the applicant and the landowner or the management, the management company, to discuss those issues. It isn't something that we could condition because it is not a public highway. Number two was concealed entrance signs where required. Again, if those are on private land, then there isn't anything that we can insist on there. It would be between the applicant and the management company or the residents. Similarly, a traffic mirror at the Grange entrance, it's private land, the same scenario. Number four, a proposal for Kids Village contribution to traffic lights, suggests 50%. The Grange Management Company are currently liable for 100%, even though Wichnapore pay half as a goodwill. And road upkeep suggests 33%. The report at point 11.11 states that the applicant has confirmed that they have agreed access over the unadopted section of Wichna Lane and have agreed to contribute into the management company that maintains the road. That will be something that would be a private matter between the applicant and the management company to come to an agreement about percentages or what amount is going to be paid. Number five, maps for planting scheme. Condition 10 on the report has been put together by the National Forest and the County Ecologists and lists all the items that need to be included in a landscaping scheme to be provided for approval prior to the commencement of any development on site. This includes the species, the size of trees, enhancement measures, a landscape management plan, details of maintenance, etc. So it is an extensive condition that covers the landscaping proposals. Number six, a request that the council reduce the speed limit on the main lane to 30 miles an hour. This would only be applicable on the adopted part of Wichna Lane, but that isn't anything that the planning department can have any control over. If the residents of Wichna consider that that is appropriate, they would need to make a formal application to Staffs County Council Highways, providing evidence of why it is considered appropriate, and they would need to have the support of the police. If the police aren't willing to enforce the 30 mile an hour speed limit, then the County Council would not consider that as an option, but it is something that you would need to make a formal application to the county for. It's outside, highways are outside of the remit of East Staffsborough. Number seven, CCTV and number plate recognition to manage the traffic plan at the proposed site and at the dedicated road stroke A38. The operational management plan that will be secured through the Section 106 agreement could include items like that. That is for discussion. Number eight, any approval is strictly limited to charitable use and any subsequent application for change, i.e. any commercial use, would not be allowed. Conditions 15 and 16 in the report restrict the use to the use of premises at Children's Respite Village only, and condition 16 states the buildings shall not be used for any purpose other than in association with the associated Children's Respite Village, and when the buildings hereby permitted are no longer required for the purposes of the Children's Respite Village, they shall be dismantled, removed from the site, and the land restored to its former condition. So that issue, I consider, is already covered in those conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Right, I'd now like to move to our public speaking parts, and the first person I would like to pull forward is from the Parish Council, Mrs. Sarah Beaumont, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Right. You have 3 minutes and we will have a timer up on the board for you when you're ready to start.
Okay. Over the past 30 years, I've worked extensively to start and grow charities and social enterprises. I advise government, local authorities and the West Midlands Combined Authority on growing social businesses. In 2021, I was awarded an OBE for my work and I speak with this experience and as a local resident. We are delighted that a new charity, Kids Village, has proposed a holiday park for sick and recovering children and their families. We are, however, concerned that this is the wrong location. Wichna is remote, poorly signposted, and sat-navs don't work. Experience shows that navigating around Wichna is hard, especially for those who aren't permanent residents. 5 years ago, an ambulance was called to Wichner Grange, adjacent to the proposed site. After some time getting very lost, it couldn't find the property, and this resulted in the sad death of our neighbour. When advising charities and social businesses, location is a key consideration. Is the location right for its clients? Is it safe? Is it easy to find? What are the risks to the success of the business and its target client group? Many people visiting and working in Wichner get lost. This could be fatal for the sick children staying at Kids Village needing medical support. Our village has no infrastructure for safely increasing its traffic. The A38 is hazardous, resulting in many accidents. Our Wichner Lane is a single-track road with a mix of soft verges and field runoff ditches, which flood, and there are hazards from mud created by farm vehicles, making the road slippery and dangerous. The proposed plastic road, rather than relieving traffic, will not be used, as it will be easier for drivers to exit directly onto and off the A38 at Wichner Bridges. We have a crumbling causeway linking the single-track adopted road with the privately owned road to the hall, and the Grange, and if this is damaged, this causeway, it will stop all access for everybody. Kids Village, locating to the site, will have necessary additional deliveries of food for guests, maintenance, office materials, etc. We don't agree that guests will stay on site for their holiday. The current road infrastructure will not cope with the additional traffic and will create risks to residents and to their proposed guests. Now, ecology. Our local research identified that extremely rare white claw crayfish in the river at the edge of Kids Village are there. They have the same rarity status as a tiger or an African elephant. They are listed on the list of threatened species produced by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. Any building work will damage their habitat. We disagree with the planning officer's report concerning the conformity to national and local planning policy, and we don't agree that it's enough to say it's a departure application without addressing the issues that we've raised as residents. Children with long-term illnesses need a good location, and the practicalities of the location will not work for this charity and its clients. The Wichner Park Parish Meeting does not agree with this application.
Thank you for your time. Right, I would like to call forward Mr. Richard Palmer now, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I will just wait while we get our screen on. And again, you have 3 minutes when you're ready.
Good afternoon. My name is Richard Palmer. I'm a trustee of the Kids Village charity. I grew up in Barton. I currently live on Efflinch Lane, and my house is about 500 metres from the proposed new access. I'm highly supportive of this scheme, not only because of the aims of the charity, but because the scheme has been thoroughly thought through and well researched. Work on this particular scheme has taken 3 years to get to committee, and we've committed hundreds of thousands of pounds ensuring the application is robust. This thorough preparation is hopefully reflected in the fact there are no statutory objections to the scheme. Consultation was carried out in accordance with best practice. Kids Village had extensive pre-application discussions over a 2-year period with, amongst other people, Highways and Historic England, as well as meeting with Barton Parish Council and residents at a meeting at Wichner Church, and also personally dropping letters and knocking on every door in Wichner. We are pleased that the scheme is judged by the council to be acceptable in planning terms. The sole use of this property will be for respite holiday accommodation for children with life-limiting and life-threatening illnesses and their families. There will be no other use for this, and we are happy that this will be tied by condition. We are pleased the National Forestry Company notes the need for this type of accommodation and welcomes this proposal. It is essential we maintain and enhance both the natural beauty of the site, but also the habitat and biodiversity. To this end, our ecological team have worked with council ecologists to produce a comprehensive ecological enhancement plan, including 2.5 hectares of planting, which demonstrably creates a biodiversity net gain. We are pleased that the county ecologist has no objections. We worked with the council to develop a transport proposal that works. We looked at in detail at the only 10 access routes potentially available to us. Through a methodical process, we down-selected to one, as all the other options were found to be infeasible. We are pleased there were no objections from National Highways, Staffordshire County Council, or East Staffs to these proposals. This charity has an experienced management team, trustees, and a network of supporters that have the knowledge to both raise the capital and operating budgets and to construct and operate this scheme effectively. We are extremely pleased to have received the positive recommendation to approve the scheme and hope the committee will be minded to follow their officer's view and approve the proposal. Many thanks.
Thank you. Just bear with me one moment. Okay, my next speaker, I have two names for a possible speaker. It will either be Mr. Colin Bushell or Mr. Tony Taylor.
Tony Taylor.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Taylor, if you'd like to take a seat. And again, when you're ready, you have your 3 minutes.
Thank you. Immediately prior to my retirement, I was the chief executive of a substantial charity providing housing, care and support to families with vulnerable members. This included respite care. As a parent, I had a son who suffered an incurable illness who sadly died after a lengthy yet brave struggle. I am possibly, therefore, the only person in this room who has professional and personal experience relative to this application. The lengthy report submitted to you accepts that this is a departure application, but relies heavily upon the perceived socially important national role of the provision. However, I see no evidence that 500 families will wish to holiday each and every year in the isolated location of Wychnow. For some, this will not be stress-free, as they may suffer anxiety from feeling isolated in a remote area, away from their support groups, and knowledge of their own local facilities, such as shops, surgeries, clinics, and indeed hospitals. In my belief that while the cause is worthy, and the applicant may well yet present an emotional plea for approval, the proposed location is singularly inappropriate. Located 2 miles from a main road, several miles from shops, and indeed even further to a hospital and medical facilities. Sadly, experience has shown that ambulances do have difficulty locating parts of Wychnow. With 500 families a year, it is entirely probable that urgent medical attention will be needed from time to time. As mentioned before, access to the proposed site is a significant issue. The causeway is a particular problem, being a relatively frail construction. The owners of South Lodge have explained that their deeds show them as partial owners of the causeway, but have not received a request for its use and access to the site. Additionally, the Grange Management Company has not received an approach regarding maintenance contributions. It is a mystery to me, therefore, why the applicant claims to have done both. The planning report seems predisposed to approving this application based upon the principle of development. However, there are many important aspects to be considered by you, too many for me to mention in the 3 minutes that you've allotted. But I draw your attention to the following. Access generally, the narrowness of Wychnow Lane, the frailty of the causeway, the unadopted road beyond, the likelihood of not all using the new road, and access onto the A38 from either Wychnow Lane or Catholm. All this leads to a delicate and inappropriate infrastructure for this purpose. These lodges, incidentally, are 23% larger than the average four-bedroomed house in the UK and are now to be clad in a composite board and not in wood, and one wonders where the manufacture of these is taking place. The report accepts the harm of this application but suggests it is outweighed by the public benefit. Finally, look to the future and the possible failure of this proposal. How will you then view an application for change of use when the charity itself, having failed, cannot afford to dismantle? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you.
Next, I would like to call Mrs. Lucy Talbot Clegg, please.
Good afternoon.
When you're ready.
Thank you. As a long-standing business in Wychner, perhaps it's a surprise that we are raising objections. I'm here today not to quash what's an admirable project, but to highlight the reality of operating a hospitality business in a quite tricky location. No one can doubt the need, the benefit it can offer, but as a business which has used a transport plan for many years, and it has to be said, suffered the consequences, it's impossible not to share those considerations. Access, which is via the A38, has always been deemed a concern. Given the speed of traffic, which leads straight onto a humpback bridge, it's a difficult route. Our own experience, even in timeshare, where the majority of our guests are owners and have visited multiple times over the 20 or 30 years that they've owned, is that they use sat-nav, not postcodes, or they think they can remember where they go and end up using the easiest and earliest access. This will be the A38. Our guests routinely arrive with one car. With four-bed lodges, it's almost certain that guests will arrive with at least two. If they're travelling in convoy, this is likely to exacerbate issues. The transport survey was not done at a representative time of year. The report answers that COVID measures were being lifted, and they were. Our own length of stay was dramatically increased due to the nature of people's holidays changing. We had reduced staff travelling. Our restaurant and bar were closed. Our golf course was closed. Most of our leisure facilities were closed. Local residents were in the main able to and actually working from home. Many of us still are today. This materially affects the validity of the remaining assumptions and undermines perhaps the operating plan. Wear and tear on the causeway is a concern. As previously highlighted, we will all be landlocked in and out of our businesses and homes if anything happens to the causeway. And I myself have visited underneath the Victorian element of it, and the structure is not in a good state. The maintenance of roadways and passing bays, the management and timing of the traffic lights, and also the impact on other road users who want to be in the same wonderful space. We as a business paid for the causeway resurfacing out of our own budget. We paid for the traffic calming and we paid for the passing bays as an interested and integrated part of the community. We felt that was what we needed to do in the same way that we pay towards the contribution of the traffic lights. Surely this does need to be a condition of planning if planning is approved. The operating plan uses the core assumptions that guests to Kids Village will not travel to shops and that if they do, they'll use the designated routes. We're also self-catering, and our guests do come in and out. Delivery vans do come in and out. And for all of us that have seen delivery vans, they tend not to use nominated routes, but to use the main highway. That will be the A38. I suppose our final conclusion is regard to the estimates for traffic movements. We manage large self-catering properties. Some of them are two-bedroom. And we fundamentally believe that with a changeover day, unless it is set in as part of the operating plan, there will be potentially 20 people needed to clean those accommodations on a Sunday. And that's fundamentally different from the operating plan. We haven't been able, even with ISO 14001 and soon to be accredited ISO 50001, to be able to move our team members to be able to use bus transport, which is not available locally, or to be able to cycle or walk. Unfortunately, therefore, we have to raise an objection.
Thank you. So I move now to Mrs. Sammy Fletcher, please. Good afternoon.
Hi.
So you two have your 3 minutes when you're ready.
Okay. I am Sammy Fletcher, founder of the Kids Village charity. The charity is born out of my own personal story, so I want to share just a little bit about that because it underpins absolutely everything. So when I was 9 years old, I was at year four in St. Peter's Primary School in Yoxall, which is where I grew up and lived. And I was diagnosed with cancer in my face called rhabdomyosarcoma sarcoma. What followed was obviously some pretty difficult years with chemotherapy, radiotherapy, surgeries, and I was treated at Birmingham Children's Hospital. One of the, or some of the most difficult things that I found was, of course, the uncertainty for the future and a feeling of being completely isolated from my friends and my sisters and not feeling normal. Like, didn't help, but I didn't have any hair and tubes and stuff like that. And during that time of treatment, I was told about a place in America called Give Kids the World Village. And I became really fixated on wanting to visit. So me and my dad put together a plan of what I would do when I was better. And we made a big board that said, I am better now, that was at the bottom of my bed. And on there was going to Give Kids the World Village. I had my little face stuck on other people that were there. And that became my focus and my inspiration to getting through all of the horrible stuff. And I did survive, obviously I'm here. And I went to Give Kids the World Village with my family. And it was just totally magical. It's a place that's completely child focused and a place where I finally felt safe. Nobody was staring at me because I didn't have any hair. I was surrounded by people like me, and it gave me an opportunity to start to build confidence and start to reflect on what on earth we've just been through. It was the first place I didn't wear a wig because of that. And from that moment, we as a family said, wouldn't this be brilliant to bring something like this to the UK? Because not everybody was as fortunate as me to be able to go to America. So now, here I am, nearly 20 years later, planning to create the UK's first kids' village, holiday village here in Staffordshire. The site itself will be a peaceful, relaxing place for families to come. You've seen how beautiful it is. The idea is that they will spend time together with their family in the lodges themselves and also in our central facility called The Hive. We plan to have Christmas every week. Santa will come. We'll have activities. We'll do a big breakfast buffet in the morning to bring families together and provide lots of stuff on site for them to enjoy. The idea is that children will be signed off to be well enough to come to us, which is exactly what happened for me to go to America. Many charities and many families have wanted to create this in the UK because there's a huge need, a lot of families and children that would like to come. And we feel that we are the ones in a really fortunate position that can actually make it happen. Between us, we have a huge amount of experience in building sites like this. We have obviously the personal experience and passion, and we also have a huge amount of local and national support from established charities and funders as well. I absolutely understand the very natural concerns of some of the local people in Wichner, but I do feel really confident that if we receive the planning consent in time, everybody here will feel really proud, to have this here in Staffordshire. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, everyone. Right, we've finished our public speaking part, and so now I would like to open this up to our committee for their thoughts and comments and questions, please. Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, it's going to be another of those balancing acts. Firstly, let's get one out of the way, a fact. It was mentioned that there are crayfish in the area, and we've got a comment that I've seen in the update from the county ecologist has now confirmed that crayfish are not present at the site and can therefore be disregarded. So can we put that out of the way first? Because, you know, I would be more concerned than anybody else if there were crayfish there, as you well know.
Thank you, Councillor Barker. And as all of our committee have seen the update sheets, we have got sight of that. Anybody else then, please? Councillor Legge.
Thank you. Can I ask about the causeway and the owner of the causeway, please?
I have no details of ownership of the causeway. It is unadopted and the ownership details are unknown. So whether it's jointly owned by a number of people, I have no knowledge of that.
Would you like to come back on that, Councillor Legge?
So who would maintain it then in that case, please?
There is a management company that deal with the maintenance and it's my understanding that there has been discussion regarding that.
Thank you.
Okay, so would you like to come forward?
I don't purport to have all of the title deed issues, but when we were looking at maintaining the causeway and the passing bays, we had some preliminary legal work. Our understanding is that there are up to 5 owners of the causeway, but also there is an unknown owner of a part. So as you come between the traffic lights, there's a wider splay that's almost got an access through into Lady Walk, and that is under our ownership, but there's also then a shared ownership of the access road as well. So it is as yet unresolved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are we happy with that, Councillor Legge? Yeah?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Whittaker, please.
We've heard a lot of detail, emotions, and obviously everybody's on board with this proposal. Everybody knows it's a fantastic thing, but the argument is this the right place? That's where the crux of the matter sort of appears to be. If it was a housing survey, obviously you'd have sort of you'd have a survey done to see if the need was there. I mean, has the need been fully explored? All the lodges are very large, and you know, you wonder sometimes whether the economics of having sort of all large lodges when half probably not going to be used some weeks of the year. It is a big site, but then you've got the problem, you've got to have a size to generate to do the hive and everything else. So there's a lot of ongoing issues around that. One of the last comments made was about, in the event that it failed, okay, it's in the report that it's got to be taken down and the site returned. But we don't see that happen very often in reality. I'm just wondering what assurances are that that would be the case, that there wouldn't be another subsequent planning application come forward. The road might be different in that case, in which case it might be acceptable for tourists' uses or whatever. So, you know, whether there's any sort of more assurances you can give around the fact that if it didn't succeed, I mean, we want to succeed, but if it didn't succeed, what would the residents have in view of a guarantee on that?
Well, there is the two conditions that restrict it solely to the Respite Village, and then that it, when no longer required for that purpose, that it be put back, dismantled and put back. And that those are conditions on the consent. If members feel that that needs to be done slightly stronger or in a different way, those could be included in the Section 106 agreement, which would then, there would then be that legal obligation. So that's for members to decide if they consider that that would be more appropriate.
Yeah, I would like to see that strengthened. So that was one concern we could take off the table, because we've seen this done before where that is the case, but then there's no money left at the end of that period. I mean, we've seen it with solar farms and everything. What happens if there's no money left? Who is responsible? And can subsequent planning appeals or applications overrun that? So, yeah, I'd be happy. Anything we can do that to strengthen that, I would be happy about. The other point was, on the proposed access road, I couldn't quite see off the picture how many passing places there was on that road. Was it 2 or...?
I can't remember the number. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. But on the bend, sorry, oh, it is on. There's 1, 2, 3. There's 4, but then on the bend bit, you could class it as 5 because there's like one at either side on the bit where it slightly bends. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Councillor Legge, I saw your hand raised.
First of all, could I second Councillor Whittaker's proposal for beefing it up a bit? Thanks. My next question was, what will the staff house be made out of? Is that going to be like a lodge, or is it going to be a brick-built building? Please.
It's not brick built, but off the top of my head, I can't remember. It is in the report. I would need to find that in the report. But it isn't brick built, no.
So not a permanent building there, then?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've had some discussions on what we've said, beefing it up. I need to have a formal proposal coming forward, please. Councillor Barker?
Yes, I don't know how you're going to beef it up, really, more than it says, unless there's some sort of insurance policy that they pay into that guarantees there'll be some money left at the end of the day, because the policy is there as it should be. It should be only used for this purpose, and if it's not used for this purpose, it should be taken down. But as the gentleman explained, if the money's all gone, where do you go to get it taken down? So unless there's something paid into a fund, I can't see any way of beefing it up at all. And secondly, what I'd like a bit of guidance on, really, is that because we put in the conditions for that, you know, we have done our side of the job, and also the ownership of the road, how much of that do we take into account when we're looking at the permission, basically?
Thank you, Councillor Barker. Would you like a moment to respond?
In terms of the road issue, if a planning consent is issued but the applicant, the developer, doesn't have the right of access to fully implement that consent, and the legal right, then the consent can't be implemented. But that is outside of the realms of planning consent. So even if consent is granted, unless they get the legal rights for access across the unadopted highway, then they wouldn't be able to implement the consent. Sorry, what did you ask first? Sorry.
So the first one was to try and guarantee funds to make sure there was something there to be able to take these lodges down if the business failed.
Yeah.
We have, in the past, you know, when a developer needs to provide open space, but they might not do it in the future, there is a mechanism within a legal agreement to kind of secure a bond whereby, you know, the council will have a sum of money if the developer doesn't do it. And then if they do it, that bond is returned. But I'm not sure if we could do that in this instance. I think the only thing a legal agreement could do is just to ensure that it's removed if it's after a certain period of time, after it ceased to be in use, that the structures are removed from the land. But in terms of the finance, I don't think that could feature in a legal agreement. I'm looking at the screen if Glenn's got any view on that.
Yes, Chair, we could include that in a section.
Thank you, Glenn, for clarifying that for us. Any further comments that we want to make at this time then, please? Councillor Whittaker.
Yeah, I noticed on the lighting, it just said the lighting will be kept to a minimum, but is there any sort of specific details on the lighting scheme for the lodges and around?
Not yet. There is a condition that a lighting scheme to be submitted, which would be looked at by both the National Forest and the ecologist, as well as ourselves. Unless the right scheme is put forward, it wouldn't get a discharge of condition.
Councillor Legg.
Thank you. Regarding the trees, could we make sure that we have some substantial trees shielding the staff complex, please, and also in the woods?
Yeah, the National Forest have been very specific in terms of the landscaping condition and are asked for all that detail. They would be consulted before the any discharge condition application is agreed, so they have said about more substantial trees, and they're very keen to know about the species of trees, the size and the particular locations and planting.
Thank you.
Okay, and Councillor Barker.
Yes, just to agree with Councillor Legg. I mean, it was in the old days, Councillor Legg and I used to have to go around and see what trees were there and what we needed. To have the National Forest doing the job for us with their expertise, I think we can hopefully rely on their experience.
Okay. So just for clarity then, we did have mention of a possible proposal coming forwards with a potential seconder for this. We have heard from our legal representative in terms of this. Do you wish to have any further discussion on that part before we make any decisions? Councillor Whittaker.
I think we've taken the advice from the solicitor. I'm quite happy with that. We can't presume what was going to happen, but we've always got to be quite, bear in mind, you know, have a bit of scepticism about what could happen. I think we'd be very remiss of us if we didn't think that. But I'm happy to take his view on that.
Okay, so do we have any further comments before I ask for a motion to push this forward then? No? Councillor Legg.
Thank you. Just going back to the suggested conditions from residents on the list. Number 7, please, the CCTV recognition. Would there be any benefit to that, please?
I think the only benefit would be to be able to monitor the use of the new access road. But that could be included in the operational management plan if members think that is appropriate.
So in terms of that, there would be that discussion in terms of the traffic management, and everything could be discussed at that point.
Yeah, the heads of terms that have been suggested for the operational management plan are in the report at 17.3. So they could, that, you know, further discussion on that needs to happen to actually create the management plan to include it within the 106. So that could be included if members think that should be added.
Councillor Whittaker.
This hasn't been easy, Councillor Barker said. Because I think when you first look at it, you think, no way is this going to work on this site because everything seems to be against it. But looking at the consultees, their reactions, everything else, I think there's a lot of work being done on this, tremendous amount of work, to get to the point we are now. And I'm beginning to think that I don't think there's nothing that can't be overcome. I was amazed actually how many houses there was down that stretch of road, and that's working okay. And I think with the right details put forward and the ownership of the causeway and the lights, if there's some agreement financially on that, I think they could make it work. And I, for one, wish them all the luck, and I'll be voting in favour of it.
Thank you, Councillor Whittaker. Any further discussion to be had at this moment? No? So, Councillor McKinnon.
Just a comment, really. I'm glad Councillor Whittaker just put forward his views. I'm still wavering. As this committee knows, I don't always vote with the recommendation at all, but I do feel in this case that the consultations that have gone on and the years of pre-planning with this, I am convinced that the view put forward on the recommendation is probably the right one. What I was concerned about was the number of objectors today and the very valid points that they brought forward, and they seem to be the kind of people who know about what they're talking about. So this is why I'm still trying to weigh up in my head. I won't vote against it, but I'm still not convinced to vote for it. So that's where I'm sitting at the moment. That's why I've been quiet up to now. As you know, I'm not normally this quiet. I'm in very in recognition of the fact that it will bring a lot of prestige to Staffordshire as well. I'm very cognizant of that fact.
Thank you. I think we can all rest assured that with all of the conditions and that our consultees have put together, if something on that was not followed through, then this application could proceed no further. So I'm very mindful of that as well. Any further comments? No? So then I would like to propose then that we accept this proposal that's in front of us and give planning application permission to go forward with the conditions and taking into account obviously all our update reports and that's come forward before us today. Could I have a seconder for that then, please? Councillor Whittaker. Oh, sorry, and the Section 106 agreement that we are going to be putting into place as well. So for clarity, so for the traffic management plan and the travel plan monitoring. Okay, Councillor Barker, sorry.
Yes, can I second the proposal that we grant planning consent subject to the following conditions and a Section 106 agreement to secure travel plan monitoring and operational management plan for the use of the new access road.
Thank you for reading out those words that I was going to. Thank you. So we have that proposed and we have it seconded, and we have clarified exactly what it is that we're going to be voting for. So all those in favour then please raise their hands. Okay. Those against? And those abstaining, please. Thank you. That has been granted then. Okay, I'd like to continue with the agenda items. Can we move to item 6 then, that members have considered the appeals received and determined? Thank you. And item 7, that members have considered the planning permissions that were circulated? Noted. Then I will move that we move to the private part of our meeting. And I would like to say that in accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item on the agenda. Thank you.